Hallelujah. I want to thank the Lord for another opportunity to come and fellowship with you, to come and minister his word and to worship Jesus together. And thank you, Pastor Josh and Sister Elaine, for having me here to come and share the word. Amen. Amen. I want to thank God for King's Fire Church. Like what Pastor said, I came to know Prophet Vaughn and his wife Wendy in 1988. And that was in Lexington, New York, when I first visited them. And God has given us a relationship which has spread out so that now we have other relationships through that connection in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It's a blessing. Paul, he says concerning Abel, he says he is dead and yet he speaketh, meaning Abel's faith was still speaking. There are men and women who are on the other side, but their faith is still working on earth in one way or another. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you, church, also. Some years ago, this church helped to drill a well at our house in Harare, Zimbabwe. And that well is serving not only our family, but it's serving the community, because the water in our city was condemned by the World Health Organization years ago. And we have fresh water because of a seed sown by King's Fire Church. Amen. Amen. Thanks God. One of these days when you come over, you'll drink it. And praise God. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to give us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened so that we might know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead, and you made him to sit at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I ask you, Father, to strengthen us with might by your Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. I pray, God, that your love may abound in us more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we might be able to discern what is excellent, and to be sincere and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, filled with all the fruits of righteousness which are by Christ Jesus. Fill us, Father, with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we might walk worthy of you and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and always increasing in the knowledge of you. To you, Father, who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine by your power that's at work in us, be glory now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all say the Bible is God speaking to me? Amen. Hallelujah. Can we say that again? The Bible is God speaking to me. Hallelujah. God's word is very simple. Someone said Christianity is so simple, it has taken the preacher to get it complicated. It's simple. Paul told the saints in Corinth, which was like the capital of science and philosophy in those days, together with Athens, he says, I fear for you. You know, Paul says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he says, I fear for you. He says, for just as the serpent beguiled Eve, your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Amen. You know, God's word is very simple, and I am trusting the Holy Spirit to get the word of God across to us in simplicity as we are in the word together. Amen. Once again, Pastor, what's my cutoff time? 12. Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles, please, to John chapter 1. I want to share with you on the manifold grace of God. Can we all say the manifold grace of God? You know, I know vehicles, they have what's called a manifold, and cars. And that manifold is not just a small one thing. It has a number of things or a number of outlets. And because of that, it's called a manifold. And God's grace is manifold. We are going to see this as we study God's word together. But first of all, I want to look at the source of the grace. Jesus Christ is the source of the grace. John chapter 1 from verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, who is this word of God? The word here is not a thing. It's a person. Jesus Christ, the Logos, the eternal word of God. Amen. Amen. The Bible says he became flesh. Even in John chapter 1 from verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. And then it says, all things were made by him. Which means the word being spoken about here is not a thing or some literature, but it's a person. It says, all things were made by him, the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then it says, and without him was not anything made that was made. It means the sun, the moon, the stars, the whole universe, solar systems, everything that exists. Says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In Colossians, Paul says everything was made by him and for him. Amen. And then it says in verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld his glory, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word grace is from the Greek word charis, which means favor that cannot be earned. Can we all say favor? That cannot be earned. Praise God. It says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace, or grace on top of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, this speaks volumes. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 tells us, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But as that scripture tells us that, it doesn't mean that the day you and me were born again and we experienced salvation by grace, that was the end of God dispensing grace to us. Amen. It's a life of continuity of dispensing grace from God, which is grace in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the language here is grace for grace, but literally meaning grace on top of grace. Yes. Can we all say grace? Grace on top of grace? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did not arrange my salvation. Neither did any one of us. Some of us, we went to a meeting which we reluctantly went to. Maybe someone had to bribe us into going there. I'm using the word bribe figuratively. Said, if you go with me to church, I'll do this and that for you. But when we were there, the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts. And as the Holy Spirit worked in our hearts, our spiritual eyes were opened. We realized we're sinners. We couldn't save ourselves. We deserved to perish because of our sins. But God loved us. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Who didn't only die, but who rose from the dead. And who is alive. Amen. And we're told he's knocking at the door of our hearts, and we open our hearts to Christ. And most of us, if not all of us, when we say, Jesus, come into my heart, we didn't really know what we were doing. We knew, but we didn't really know. And then the next thing, we start to see transformation of life. Amen. Hallelujah. We start to see a different way of thinking coming to us. A different way of talking coming to us. A different attitude coming to us. Different actions. Things which we used to say they were good things, we started to detest them. Certain things which we didn't like the Bible, maybe we took it and dusted it off. It was by the shelf. And we started to read it. Especially after God filled us with his Holy Ghost. And we started to pray in other tongues. We start to see life in the Word of God, which we were not seeing before. God's grace was working in our lives. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I want us to go to another scripture which literally talks about manifold grace. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Can we all say thank you, Jesus? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Can we all say good stewards of the manifold grace of God? By the way, a steward is someone who takes care or looks after what belongs to another, has been entrusted. And this grace here is not our grace. It's not angels' grace. It's God's grace. And God, by his grace, he reached to us. Romans 5, verse 8, God showed us his love in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Mankind did not make an appeal to heaven for salvation.
Yeah.
God initiated our salvation. Because God made man not for the devil. God made man not to go to hell. The Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels. But the devil does not want to go alone. He uses lies and deception to lure and seduce man, to make sin attractive through his deceptions. But we want to thank God for the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, who opened our spiritual eyes to the reality that, hey, sin is not good. The devil is not good. God is good. And we realize Jesus is the Savior. And we opened our hearts to him. But this was by the grace of God. You know that scripture, Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, it says, for by grace. Can we say this together? For by grace,
for by grace
are ye saved.
Through faith.
And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. One thing that blew me away as I was reading a certain book many years ago by a preacher called Dr. Charles Price. Dr. Charles Price, he was writing concerning real faith. And explaining concerning faith, I remember he mentioned that that scripture where it says, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, though the salvation is not of ourselves, but the literal meaning is, in that context is, the faith by which we are saved is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It means I cannot boast before someone who is not born again and say, I have faith for salvation you don't have. Why? Because the faith by which we are saved is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the first thing I want to communicate to us is, the first point is, we are saved by grace through faith. Can we all say, I am saved by grace through faith? Amen. And this salvation being spoken about here is talking about the eternal consequence of sin. It means if I live this life today, I'm not going to hell. My spirit goes to heaven to be with the Lord. And after the final resurrections and the judgments, it doesn't matter our eschatological positions. There shall be a disclosure of what it will really be like. But the truth we know is, there's going to be a separation of the righteous from the unrighteous.
Amen.
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 And God has eternal bliss for the righteous.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, no more pain in the eternal glory land. Can you imagine? Hey, I was not thinking of touching this. The metric, in the metric conversion of numbers, which we use in our country, New Jerusalem is supposed to be 2,200 kilometers long and 2,200 kilometers wide. And the wall goes up 2,200 kilometers. And these are walls of jasper. And the whole city is a city of gold, pure gold. And it's bigger than our country, Zimbabwe. I was looking at the size of our country and the size that I see in the book of Revelation. You know, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the minds of men, the great things that God has got in store for those who love him. And it says, but God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you all say thank you, Jesus? We are not going to be paying taxes there. We are not going to be paying rentals there. There are not going to be any telephone calls we don't want there, because we are behind in our payments. Shout hallelujah. Are we glad because of the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us, John says he saw a multitude who had been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They had come out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And they were singing to the Lamb, hallelujah, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals. For you were slain and you have redeemed us unto God by your blood. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. But all this salvation is by the grace of God. That is in Christ Jesus. It's not because we kept the law. By the way, under the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 3, it says, God hears and answers our prayers because we keep his commandments. And then John explains, this is the commandment of God, to believe in the one whom he has sent and to love one another. Shout amen. Amen. Are we not glad that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Are we not glad that we are no longer living in a dispensation where those who do certain things are stoned at church? We want to thank God for this dispensation of grace. Hallelujah. Can you all say thank you, Jesus? Now, let's go to Titus chapter 2. So, we are saved from the eternal consequence of sin by the grace of God. This grace that's in Christ Jesus has delivered us from going to hell. Amen. Praise God. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Verse 18, looking to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Titus 2, verse 11, there is another ability of the grace of God in Christ that is revealed. It says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And then it says, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Can we all say, the grace of God teaches me to deny ungodliness? See, that's another capability of the grace of God. That's in Christ Jesus. It teaches me. It teaches you to deny. To deny, it says, no ways. I don't want to reject. Amen. Ungodliness and worldly lusts. What are the lusts in this world? The Bible talks about the lust of the eyes. The Bible talks about the lust of the flesh. What causes a man, a woman to visit a pornographic site? It's lust. What causes someone to become unfaithful to his marriage partner? It's lust. But the Bible tells us the grace of God that's in Jesus has an ability to teach you and me to say no to ungodliness and to lust.
Amen.
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 It means this grace does not only teach us to, it doesn't only deliver us from the eternal consequence of sin, it delivers us from the power of sin in the now.
Amen.
It says, so that we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present life. Amen.
Amen.
To think God's grace is a license for sinning is to know, is ignorance of the grace of God.
Amen.
Because the true grace of God does not only deliver from the eternal consequence, but it delivers from the power of sin in the now.
Amen.
The third thing I want to share with us as we talk about the manifold grace. Can you all say manifold?
Manifold.
It means it's multifaceted. It has many abilities. We want to look at the grace of God enabling us to serve God, to do the work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. From verse 8. Last of all, he was seen by me. That's Jesus appearing after his resurrection, or a vision of Christ. Also, as by one born out of just due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The Apostle Paul gives the credit of his laboring in an outstanding way to the grace of God.
Amen.
Which means in this grace, there's not only salvation, there's not only the ability to say no to sin, but there's also an ability to do the work of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Saints, how does God take a Hebrew Jewish Pharisee called Paul, who is supposedly a big theologian in Jewish law, a lawyer, and he sends him to the Gentiles who know nothing about the law, and he's a success there. And then he takes Peter and John and James, Peter, whom the Bible says was ignorant and unlearned, and sends him to the Jews who are champions at the law, and he's a success. That is the grace of God. Didn't Moses say to the Lord, I can't talk? But God said, I have Aaron for you. Didn't Jeremiah say, I'm just a youth? But the Lord said, I'll put my words in your mouth. Wasn't Gideon in hiding? Threshing wheat behind a wine press. It's like cooking food in the bathroom. Hiding the food from the Midianites. But what does God call Gideon? Mighty man of valor. Because God is not looking at what Gideon can do, but God is looking at what God can do through Gideon. Because some of us, we are seated here and we are disqualifying us. We are allowing the enemy to disqualify us in our thinking. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do. If God could talk through a donkey, he can talk through you, brother. He can talk through you, sister. Shout amen.
Amen.
If a rod of iron could be called the rod of God, you can be called a man of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
By the grace of God. Can we all say, I am. What I am?
By the grace of God.
See, one thing I want to say quickly concerning this grace of God, there's growth in this grace. You can even ask for more grace. The Bible says, let us go boldly to the throne of grace. Because God's throne is also called the throne of grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's not the throne of law. It's the throne of grace. It says, let's go boldly to the throne of grace. Let us find so that we might obtain grace and mercy for the time of need. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
None of us can do the work of God on our own. I'm thinking of Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, preaching at the Gate Beautiful. a straight message theologically. But this man, he was unlearned. He was ignorant. What is happening? The Holy Ghost has come upon him. The Holy Ghost is showing him all truth, guiding him into all truth. This spirit also is called the spirit of grace. Shout hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Can we all say, by the grace of God, I can do the work of God. There is no room for loitering in God's house. There is no room for window dressing. None of us is here for window dressing. We are members of Christ's body. And just like each member of your body and my body has a function, you have a function. Brother, sister, you have an assignment. And it's a unique assignment. Hallelujah. It's a unique assignment. You might never stand before the whole congregation, but you can do exploits from there. I think I need to say something which I said in the first service. When we were worshiping, what came to me was the story of the woman who slid the millstone, and it crushed the head of Abimelech. That's in the book of Judges. That millstone was not manufactured to be a weapon, but it was a millstone. But it dawned on this woman's mind, I can move it, and it can go down there. And it crushed the head of Abimelech. Go read on your own. He was like an Osama bin Laden. That war came to an end. Terrorism came to an end during that period because the head of Abimelech was crushed. But it's a woman who was there who was not one of the fighters. And what am I saying? You are here. As you spend time with God, there are things God will open your eyes to, which you can avail to the work of God. Amen. It could be talents. It could be some kind of treasure. It could be a gadget. It could be a vehicle. It could be machinery, which you can make available, and it can become a weapon for God. Amen. You know, it also dawned on me about the woman who was who took the tent peg, Jael, and a workman's hammer. Not a soldier's hammer, but a workman's hammer. And she killed Sisera, the general of the armies of Jabin, the king of the Amalekites, the king of the Canaanites, who was oppressing the Israelites at that time. And when they came looking for Sisera, she said, come, I'll show you the man you are looking for. And he was already dead. But that hammer was there. I'm sure it used to be used for different things. Well, I truly believe somebody's eyes shall be opened. And you are going to release something. And as you are going to release something, great things are going. I mean, some exploits are going to take place. It also dawned on me concerning David. Those stones that were by the brook, they were not left there by some soldier to use and put in a sling and slay enemies. They were just there, and I'm sure others walked on top of the stones. But one of them, when David took it and he sent it forth, it went into the forehead of Goliath. I sense in my spirit there are people here. You have got abilities. You have got certain resources. You have got certain things you know. Or God is going to open your eyes, and you are going to take steps of faith. Exploits are going to happen. History is going to take place. That building on top of the mountain shall be built. Because somebody is going to see something. Somebody is going to walk into certain opportunities. And as you walk into those opportunities, you will faithfully use those opportunities to advance the kingdom of God. Can we all say thank you, Jesus? It was only one man whom God stirred in the days of Cyrus for the building of the temple. And that was King Cyrus. And when Cyrus' spirit was stirred, the Bible says he released the Jews to go back to build the house of God in Jerusalem. And not only that, he made the resources available. Yes. And in the name of Jesus, may the Lord stir the spirits of Cyruses. Not only in this house. Do you know, men of God, God can use non-believers. I have a friend who went into a city where they are Hindu businessmen. God gave him favor in the sight of a Hindu businessman. And the Hindu businessman started to release stuff. Cyrus was not a born-again man. In one verse, it says Cyrus, a ravine. What is a ravine? It's a selfish creature. But God can work wonders. Who fed Elijah? It was ravens. I think they brought breakfast in the morning and dinner at night. See, God can also do that. So whilst God is going to raise some among you to release resources or ideas or do certain things, let us not limit God. Amen. Shout amen.
Amen.
Can you all say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
So can you all say the grace of God enables me to serve him? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we come across the grace of God in verse 9, that this grace enables us to endure hardship. We are going to face challenges. Sometimes we'll feel like giving up. But Paul went to God concerning the thorn in the flesh. And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. The Lord has grace. Maybe right now you're in a situation where you feel like throwing in the towel, where you feel like giving up. But God's grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then as I close this in my sharing with you, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is Paul exhorting the churches of Achaia of which Corinth was part of it, concerning giving to the poor saints that were in Judea. But he uses the testimony of the churches of Macedonia. Can we all say the churches of Macedonia? He says in 2 Corinthians 8, he says, these brethren in Macedonia, they desired to participate in the privilege of ministering to the saints. And the background concerning Macedonia, which was not a city, it was a province, and Philippi was the capital of Macedonia, we are told that wars had been fought on Macedonian soil. And we all know the results of wars when they are fought in a country. It devastates in many ways. There's a lot of destruction, not only of lives, but also of the economy. So we are told it had that negative effect on Macedonia. But not only that, the Romans colonized Macedonia. And when the Romans colonized, they looted. We are told that the Macedonians thrived much on timber, but they were banned from utilizing the timber by the Romans. They were taxed heavily, which means from a natural perspective, things were not okay. And not only that, Paul says they had extreme poverty. When you are poor, it means you have less than enough. They were not rich. They were in, I mean, they were, the poor called them poor. But Paul says they had a joy in the Lord. And this joy in the Lord, it overwhelmed them into rich generosity.
Yes.
Can you all say rich?
Generosity.
But Paul ascribes that all to the grace upon the churches of Macedonia.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then it says they gave what they were able to give. But not only that, it says they gave beyond their ability. Not because anybody seduced them. No. It says willingly. From their own hearts. And Paul says, they pleaded us to give. They pleaded. It means Paul was sympathetic and feeling for them. But they said, no, don't deprive us of the privilege of blessing the poor in Judea. And yet they were poor. Now, it's only the grace of God that can enable a poor man to beg to give.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you all say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
One day a man came into our into our church years ago and talked to us about the grace on the churches of Macedonia. I got it. We started to teach it. And our country has gone through the worst. We have almost 90% unemployment in Zimbabwe. But when things were the worst, God told me to start doing charity work on a large scale, making commitments from a natural perspective of which we were not able. But I was listening to what God was speaking in my spirit. We have built a park in our city for an orphanage. And it's a park which now it's well known. It's called Mwana Dream Park. People hire it for events, and all the money goes to an orphanage. And in our city, as of today, we feed almost 10,000 children on a school day. No exaggeration. You can come and do a head count in schools. We work with government schools and municipality schools. Schools that have over 1,000 kids at each school. And we are actually cutting on what we can do because the food, we don't have as much food as we need. But it's really just God doing it. It's like trusting God to give to someone when you yourself are trusting God for your own needs. And it's just the grace of God that can enable us to do that. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, write it to the saints at Corinth. Can we all say, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake, he became poor, so that we through his poverty might be rich. That's simple English, saints. You don't need to be a rocket scientist or to be a scholar at Shakespeare's literature to understand that. It's so clear. It says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we through his poverty might be rich. He's encouraging the saints at Corinth. But finally, which means this grace enables us to give, to be generous. And then this grace also enables us to receive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But it doesn't end there. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, which is the last scripture I want to leave with you, it says, God is able to make all grace to abound towards you, so that in everything and at all times, having all sufficiency in all things, you might abound in every good work. I cannot do that for myself. You cannot do that for yourself. But the Bible tells us that. And like what I said in the first service, let us have simple faith like the ones of a woman the Catholics call Mother Mary. She said, be it unto me according to your word. When God's word says God is able to make all grace to abound towards you, so that in everything and at all times, having all sufficiency in all things, you might abound in every good work. I don't understand how it's going to happen, but I say, be it unto me. According to your word. And God is watching over his word to perform it. And God is faithful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
By the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Pastor, that building is going to be completed. In the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we declare favor. The favor of God. The favor of God. The favor which Joseph walked in before Pharaoh. Favor before the authorities in Kingston in the name of Jesus. And in the United States of America. Joseph became number two, like vice president, and yet he was a foreigner. That is not normal. That is the favor of God. Daniel became number two, and yet he was a foreigner. That is not normal. That is the grace of God. That's God's favor. Esther became queen, and yet the king did not know her family. Is that normal? Anybody who is marrying somebody wants to know her family. He only came to know it the day when Haman came to ask for the head of Mordecai. But the whole thing was strategic. Our God is not natural. Our God is supernatural. He opened the Red Sea. He fed Israel with coals and manna in the desert for 40 years. They traveled with no navigating system. The presence of God was with them. And God provided everything. And they did not outgrow their shoes. They did not outgrow their clothes. There were no shopping malls. But he provided. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly far and above all we can ask or even think. And we give him glory in Jesus' name. Amen.